Welcome to Powering Travel, a new audio platform brought to you by Expedia Group. Today, we're discussing the importance of optimizing your vacation rental listing to drive bookings and minimize preventable cancellations. As a vacation rental host, attracting the right travelers to your property and avoiding cancellations are keys to success, and this starts with having a detailed, up-to-date property listing. For example, is your description accurate? Do you list out all your amenities and use images that showcase what makes your property unique? Is your calendar availability up to date? And do you offer a flexible cancellation policy? On the flip side, travelers want to discover properties that match their needs, feel confident that booking with you is the right choice, and have a great experience with no unexpected surprises when they show up to their vacation rental. No pressure, right? The good news is there are more ways than ever for hosts like you to drive more bookings and give guests exceptional experiences. Today, we're chatting with Angela Page, Director of Account Management for Vacation Rentals at Expedia Group, and a vacation rental host herself, to hear firsthand about her experience as a host. Angela Page has spent the last 5 years as a vacation rental host and 12 years as an Expedia Group employee. Based in Sydney, Australia, Angela lists her primary home on Vrbo. As Director of Account Management for Vrbo, she manages a team supporting Vrbo property managers and hosts across the Australia, New Zealand, and Oceania region. Her past experience includes working closely with hoteliers on revenue management strategies across the US and Australia to maximize revenue streams and look after the Australia and New Zealand traveler sites to optimize conversion and traveler experience. Angela is also a busy mom of 3 young children and in her copious amounts of spare time, enjoys boxing and exploring local cafes. We talk about how you can take your listing to new levels to attract the right guests to your property and help avoid cancellations. Let's get right into the interview with Angela Page. Angela, thanks so much for being with us today. I'm really excited to hear your point of view because you have a very unique vantage point. It's a little bit of a sweet spot as a vacation rental host, Expedia Group employee, and of course, a traveler. So how does being at this intersection inform how you approach your role as a host?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's funny because I wear different hats, right? But I actually feel like I never take any of my hats off now, which is pretty cool. They really do align. I really love this industry. That seeps through sort of whether I'm a traveler and I get to experience a vacation rental or I'm hosting or I'm at work. As a host, I've seen and felt up close like just how important it is that I optimize my listing. And I know that sounds, oh, of course she has to say that. But I've just seen it time and time again that if I don't have my listing where I need it to be, what ends up happening for me is that I don't get the right traveler and then the traveler doesn't have the right experience. So it's a real ecosystem that I've experienced. In that regard, as a host, I really do prioritize the traveler. I really try to think at all times, what does the traveler see on my listing? What is the vibe they get? What is the takeaway? What do they think they're going to experience when they come here? How happy are they going to be after they pay this price? All these different things I think about. And what ends up happening is over time, it didn't take me too long, I would say. I really worked out how do I get the traveler that I want? And how do I get the traveler that is going to really enjoy being here? So I think, you know, the other thing I wanted to mention is I really find it a privilege to host. That sounds cheesy. But it really is a privilege to be a vacation rental host and to have a property that you get to welcome people into. So when I started renting my place, it's my primary home, actually. When we go on big international trips and things, we rent it out for long periods of time. I shared it with a couple of the folks on my team who speak to hosts regularly and help them optimize their listing and make it, you know, ready and snazzy for travelers to book. And, you know, they gave me a couple tips, right? And it's really funny because I know all of these things, but it was really neat to kind of see rubber hit the road. Is that the expression? So like a couple of examples and tips that they gave me was one, making sure my house rules are up to date, like really making sure I'm comfortable with what's there and I'm communicating to the traveler what to expect. So for example, we have a 3-bedroom apartment. But I have a bunch of young kids. I've got 3 kids. and I only have 1 bed for adults. So I have in my house rules, if you have more than two adults, this place is not going to suit you. And that's really important because, you know, I actually do have a lot of groups of adults that try to come. I'm like, there'd be nowhere for you to sleep. So I've done that, right? Like I've made sure, and that was happening at first. So I've made sure with my photos, for example, that my first seven photos show each room of the house. And that sounds so, you know, basic, but what we find sometimes is that people will have three of the best photos of the kitchen, then three of the living room, kind of stage it like a real estate ad. But if you can give them what each room of the house looks like up real fast, and then you go in your duplicates with different angles, they get a real flavor for what's there. So now people will go and see, ah, she's only got a cot in this room or a crib. She's got bunks in this bed and one bed for adults. So those are just a few things that I have sort of seen as all of my hats kind of merge into one.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So you mentioned, you know, finding the travelers that fit best with your property and, you know, all of these details around how you've curated the space. How did you get to that conclusion? How did you find that this was the kind of type of traveler that you wanted to typically host?
So it's my primary home. I really love my place and I, you know, I want it taken care of. And so a few things like, okay, this is set up for a family and I, you know, I want people to come and experience it. And I don't want adults to be put off by the kids' toys because we really leave, you know, books out and we leave kids' toys out and even like little stuffed animals, like things that they can really feel like, wow, this is a home away from home. And so I find that people just, when they weren't in that stage of life, weren't appreciating it as much. The value was a bit different. So I recognized quickly, okay, like I need to really cater to young families.
So, you know, when families are looking for a vacation rental, there are a lot of very specific things they're looking for, right? So that finding that balance between what you have to offer and what they're looking for, clearly making sure that your property listing is clear makes the most sense, right? So what kind of tips would you give to other hosts when they're creating their listings to really cater to a specific traveler? What's the type of information that you find most important to include?
Yeah, photos are a big one. Making sure that the first six or seven photos, you know, that's what people will definitely usually flick through if they're going to look at your listing. Making sure that to your place, kind of the photos exude what your place is, if that makes sense. So just be smart about what you're photographing. Be smart about your styling when you are getting your photo shoot done. By the way, highly recommend professional photos. They're definitely worth the investment. As soon as I had that done, my conversion increased drastically. Other things would be the title is really important. So as an example for mine is renovated open floor plan apartment, perfect for young families. That's what they're going to experience. The ability to look after your kids, enjoy the space together, but for young families. If you had, you know, a place that was really great for families to come together, like multiple families or big families, you could put that in the title, right? Great space to connect with other family. I don't know, like you can be really creative with it. Things like making sure your bed configuration is set up. I know that sounds so simple, but there's actually a lot of properties that forget to do that. And it's so important to know how many rooms there are and what beds are in the rooms, because we do have a lot of big groups and families coming through Vrbo and, you know, they need to know that they can actually fit and sleep, which is really important.
Yeah. So when you say bed configuration, you're talking specifically the way that the listing is displaying the number of beds so that when people are going in and using the search function and the filters, that accurately pulls up, right? Like not just in the description, but the actual like going in and changing it in the tool.
Yeah. So there's a setting, right? That you can go in and say, hey, I have five bedrooms in my house. And then you can actually go in and say what type of bed is in each of those rooms. And it displays really nicely on the listing. Like this is what's in this room. For me, I also emphasize it really upfront in the beginning of my description. You know, this is where, you know, first as an employee, I was like, oh, you don't need duplication, whatever. Or this was my general thought, right? But then once I started hosting, I was like, no, I need a bit of positive repetition here.
Yes.
reinforcement of what's there. And I also make sure that the amenities are really clear. That's really important. So yeah, there are things that are common sense, but take a bit of detail and just making sure. My recommendation is go onto the website as if you've never seen your place before, or even better, pull your neighbor over for a cup of tea. Be like, hey, can you have a look at my listing? This is, you know, what do you think? What vibe would you get? Also a little way to sort of have, you know, neighbors that are supportive of you.
I personally love a well thought out welcome guide when I'm staying in a vacation rental. It makes me feel like I'm at home. It like grounds me a bit. I know that might sound super nerdy, but it's the first thing that I do when I get to a vacation rental. What kind of details do you include in that welcome guide, and how often does it change? So do you get, guest feedback and update it? Is it a seasonal change? What does that experience look like for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I am also huge on welcome guides. The first thing I look at, but also as a host, I'm just as big, if not bigger. I'm like, this is my space. I have so much pride in my space and my neighborhood. And you know, it's an apartment building, right? So there's navigation, you know? And so I really make sure that it's comprehensive, but it's also concise. We put all sorts of things. So we firstly welcome them to our home. We let them know we live here. This is where we live. Please take care of it. Please note we haven't charged you a cleaning fee. This is something that I learned very early on. If you charge a cleaning fee, people will think I can leave it in total disarray because I'm paying to get this cleaned. And so we make it upfront that we've made this as affordable as possible for you. We have not charged a cleaning fee. Please leave it in the condition that you found it. We actually don't give much more instruction than that around cleanliness outside of when you leave, make sure, you know, the garbage is taken out and you just strip your linen and throw it in the laundry room. Those are the only two things that we formally ask to be done. And I've been blown away at how clean my space is every time I come back. So my welcome guide is one page, kind of like a resume. Can you fit everything on one page? If you can, that's great. There is a second page. My second page is actually a building map. So my husband designed it and he drew like a big map basically of the lower level of our apartment building where we give guests a parking spot. We have the lockbox for the key. The rubbish bins or the garbage bins are located. So then we have arrows. You will enter from here. And then, you know, we have it all designated. And people have really loved that because, you know, they get it ahead of time. And then we also have it printed out and we put it on the kitchen table when they walk in as well, so that the next time they need to go empty the bin, they know where it is. But that's been a huge hit. People have been like, wow, thank you for such clear instructions and visual as well. What else do? We put all the information. So yeah, I just try to be very detailed, clear, but also welcoming. Like I don't want them to read it and feel like it's a to-do list or they're not actually welcome to live and be in the space. So there's a real balance that you can achieve and it really sets the tone for the rest of their stay.
It's clear that you're thinking about, you know, every step of the way, how welcome they're going to feel, reducing that confusion. I mean, reducing any kind of friction is the goal, right? So let's talk about seasonality for a little bit. By nature of the industry, there's fluctuations in demand based on season and other circumstances. Maybe there's events happening in the area that would attract travelers, or even on the flip side, where it might be a dry season. How do you go about adjusting your rates to get the most revenue out of your property to accommodate for these fluctuations?
Yeah, I do so much work on this piece. My background is in revenue management, hotels. That's the industry that I came from prior. I actually, for Expedia Group, looked after the Austin, Texas market, which has a whole heap. So I've experienced what I call compression or really busy periods really up close. And so it's really informed the way I think about my listing. And so the first thing is that I look at my calendar every year about 12 to 18 months out. So because it's my primary home, I'm not renting out all the time, right? But I look at all the weekends we're going to go away. I look at the weeks we're going to go away. I look at the months we're going to go away. And I look at, okay, what time of year is that? What would the demand be like? Are there any events on in Sydney? Like is Taylor Swift coming or, you know, whatever it may be. And then I think about, okay, how long am I going for? So what is the length of stay need to be? And if I'm going for a really long period of time, what would my ideal length of stay be for this period? So if I'm on top of my calendar and I'm looking at it far out, I start with one strategy and I'm reviewing, say, I don't know, once a week or so, just to say, okay, now in the next 2 months, what has happened with the dates that I have available? Have they booked? Have they not booked? What does the search look like? Like, is there a lot of demand coming in? And you can see some of that stuff in Market Maker, right? It's really intuitive. And I'll then make changes. So I might shorten my length of stay closer in. I might change my rate slightly, bring it down a little bit. But what I find is that I always surprise myself. I get incredible stays long further out, like incredible, like a year out. People are, the way I'm planning my holidays, like I know I'm going away a year from now. They know they're going away a year from now, especially if they're going for a long period of time. So if you want a long stay, you have to be open up far out. And so, yeah, I also tell myself, okay, if a booking were to come in right now, for those dates, for that length of stay, for that price, would I be happy? And I have to answer that question to myself every time. And that's been a really good barometer, because when I first started, I just wanted to get the booking in because I get a dopamine hit. Like, I don't use social media much, but I think like using my listing is kind of like that little, ooh, you know, it comes up on my phone. I get really excited. I'm just like, you know, if I am not happy with what's there and that has happened, a booking would come in. I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have gone that low. Oh, I should have actually kept the 4-night length of stay, not lowered it to 3 or whatever it may be. And so that's helped me be really happy with what I'm accepting. Now, that's not to say I've never canceled a booking. So I have, though, begrudgingly taking and kept bookings because I wasn't really happy with what's there. So it taught me just put the traveler hat on. Think about what you're putting out there, and then think about how you're going to feel. And that might sound wishy-gushy, but I think it's really important, because sometimes, especially when you really care about, you know, the property and the listing, there's emotion attached to it, and it, you know, it's your financial income. There's all sorts of things that you're thinking about.
Your approach to being so connected to traveler behavior is super smart. So not only are you looking for the kind of traveler that would fit your home based on amenities and all of that, but also how they behave, which then allows you to be super dialed into what they want and then make changes accordingly.
You made me think of something else that I love. I love value. So I'm a value-centric person. Like, I am really happy to pay for things, but I want to know that what I've paid for, I feel good about. And so in that sense, I also love getting a discount. Like, I feel like I've really scored if I've got this great thing and I got it at a discount. So something else that I do, especially if I'm planning far enough ahead in my calendar as a host, is I offer a weekly discount. We have monthly discounts too, which I have loaded, but the weekly discount I get booked on a lot, and it's not a huge amount. I think I have 10% loaded at the moment. Sometimes I know that if I'm loading like a 2 month period where I have, you know, I might increase that to 15%. But to me, that's really worth it, because not having to turn the place over, right? And so again, when I load those discounts and I'm loading my rates, if I know I have a weekly discount open, I actually say, okay, what rate could come in? And I include that weekly discount in the rate so that I'm like, okay, this is what I'm actually going to net here. So that was something else I wanted to throw in, because I love a good discount.
Yeah, I love that. And great. I love how you called out too, like, you don't have to worry about the turnaround. It's almost as if you're passing on that like time and effort savings onto the customer. So that's, you know, it's a win-win all around. That's awesome. So I'd like to get your POV on cancellations. You know, you mentioned it a little bit before. There's a lot out of our control when we talk about cancellations, but there are a percentage of cancellations that are preventable. So what kind of tools are you relying on, and, you know, just your POV from working with other VR hosts as well? What can they be looking out for, that aspect of the preventable cancellations?
Yeah. So this is kind of a question where I put on my Expedia hat, my Expedia Group hat as an employee, but also a host and a traveler. Again, all three are on, right? As a traveler, there is actually nothing worse than being canceled on. Fortunately, I have stayed in probably over the course of the last 10, 12 years, I don't know, 25 VRs. Like, I'm a huge VR traveler. I've never been canceled. And I think that's right. That's the expectation we should have. Like, I should have zero cancellations in 25. But there are things that happen, like if something really goes wrong in the house or there's a weather event or something. The other things that we hear or that we see often is a double booking. So that's something that can come up. We have iCal. If you don't have software that helps integrate your calendars across the different platforms you may be hosting on, iCal is a really great tool that syncs your calendars. So you only manage out of one calendar, and as a booking comes in, it falls on both so that, you know, you don't have to go in and manually block. That is something I highly recommend. And our teams and our customer support, if it's actually really easy to set up. But even I like had a few questions when I first set it up. And so if you have that, like that's, we're here to help with that for sure and make sure that it's, you know, set up properly for you. Instant Book is another big one. That's where instead of, you know, having a traveler request a book and have 20, you have 24 hours as the host to respond, it's instantly bookable. That is, I think, really helpful in terms of, you know, just delivering the experience that travelers are looking for. And sometimes there's this, I'm being really honest, like the pushback on turning that on is, well, then I might have to cancel. But if you have all these things set up, like you're on top of your calendar, that's something that's really important. Like, you know, sometimes we just hear, oh, like I actually didn't have my rate set up for that Christmas yet or whatever it may be. I think there's just kind of like a rhythm that you have to get into as a host to avoid that, right? And be aware, okay, what is my booking window that I have set up so I know what is showing up on site. But back to Instant Book, if you have that, like it's such a huge advantage for a host because we've got a suite of sites that your listing is pushed to. So Expedia, you know, there's a whole bunch of different, like in Australia, for example, we have What If, which is a huge local brand. It's pushed to that brand. So we're pushing you to global websites in countries and having a real local flair on your listing to bring you international travelers. So for me, like if you can set up Instant Book and have iCal, like it's such a win. I think the only other thing that ever comes in is, you know, the traveler wanting to cancel. Well, of course, that's okay. If the traveler wants to cancel, they can go ahead and do so. So I think it's important when we're talking about cancellations, right? That we're talking about host initiated, like where you decide as a host. Let me step back a second and just say, like, there are natural consequences or consequences that we have to take in our marketplace when there are host cancellations in general, right? Because at the end of the day, that's such a bad experience for the traveler. And that traveler then is impacted on how they feel about our platform and our marketplace for other hosts who might have then had that traveler in the future. So we do have to think holistically about how we manage our marketplace in this space. So yeah, I think those are the ways that I look to minimize it, but I can proudly say I've never done it.
One of the instances where cancellations come up, where no one has any control over it, and very last minute, is in the case of natural disasters. And we know that that can be a pretty jarring experience for hosts. So what kind of process do we have in place to support hosts?
Yeah, so when these sort of things happen, and we've had some big ones, right, in the last year or two, we really make sure that we do our best to look after the hosts where they're support-wise for them and the travelers as well. So, of course, you know, our customer service teams, we take care of the travelers and have those conversations and support them. But with hosts too, I mean, you know, there are, but when it comes to things like natural disaster that's so out of your control, we're really fair. So there will be no consequences in our marketplace. And we make sure of that. We have those conversations with you and we make sure that, you know, you're waived of any of those consequences because, you know, we're primarily there to help you figure things out, get back up on your feet and not, you know, have anything negative sort of happen that you have to work through. So yeah, that's not to worry. And there are a few other, if I can mention too, there are a few other circumstances that we're really logical in the sense if it's totally out of your control, you know, there will be no consequences in our marketplace. But if it was just that your calendar wasn't up to date or these things that are very controllable, you know, there is an impact in the marketplace.
Okay, last question I have, and this one just kind of popped up for me. What has been the best experience for you at a VR, like one very specific personal experience, whether that was the type of sheets that they were using or the way that their bathroom was set up, best experience that you've had in a vacation rental as a traveler?
Oh my goodness, that is such a good question. And it is so hard for me to pinpoint one. And this is probably why I've stayed in so many vacation rentals. I would probably give two examples. The first was before my third baby, I went on a girl's weekend away in the Blue Mountains, which is about an hour and a half out of Sydney. And we stayed at this beautiful heritage home. And we had beautiful rooms, and it actually was the linen. So funny that you mentioned that. It was this beautiful French linen in the bed. And I'm massively pregnant, right? And I just, oh my gosh, it was so comfy. Like, I couldn't wait to be in bed. And I would stay in bed in the morning and read. And there was a nice coffee machine, and they had coffee for us so that we didn't have to go out and find it and bring it back. And the shower was really hot. So, and the other thing in this rental was they actually renovated the house. It's from the 1800s. And they had a book for guests to look through and what it was and what they turned it into. And that was super cool. Like, I felt like I was a part of history and I was experiencing something really special. And they thought about all these little things that would just make me feel comfortable. Like, and I know that if the sheets were cheap and I didn't have a hot shower and there was no coffee, those things all sound little, but they all add up, right? So that was one. And I think another one, we actually go to the same vacation rental every year during our school holiday period in our summer, which is December, January time with our kids. And it's in this local, really beautiful little beach town. And, you know, that's actually where I found the espresso machine that I wanted in my place. I had such good coffee. Can you tell I love coffee? That I went and bought that machine for my own home. But it was super, super close to the beach. The bedroom was set up for my kids with the right bedding, the right configuration. There were toys, there were books, there was a fenced in yard so we could let them out and run and play. So I think what it comes down to as I'm talking is like little touches, one, bringing a piece of yourself, like that, you know, book of history and what's happened, and just thinking about who's here and how can I cater to them. So I think those are the things that have probably impacted my stays the most.
Yeah, I love that. What great examples. So before we wrap up, was there anything else you wanted to add?
Maybe just putting my employee hat on a little bit tighter at the moment, but we really are here at Vrbo to support host. It is, so my team for context looks after host in this region, right? And it really brings us so much joy to have a chat to a host, support them, and then see their business flourish. So yeah, I guess just to leave you with that, that we're in this business because we know how good it can be for hosts. We know how exciting and awesome it is for travelers when they find the right VR. So yeah, so we're here and we're rooting for all of our hosts to be successful.
Yay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Angela. It was so good to hear your story. I love how you use both your personal and professional experiences to inform your vacation rental strategy and that you found so much success in doing so. Thanks so much for joining us today and sharing your insights. You certainly have a lot to share, and I learned a lot of new things myself. We covered a lot during our chat.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Thank you to Angela for talking with us about her experience and enthusiasm for hosting and sharing her advice for crafting the perfect property listing. From clearly outlining house rules and cancellation policies to attracting your ideal guests and creating a welcoming environment, it's clear that an exceptional traveler experience starts with an exceptional property listing. So, armed with Angela's best practices and advice, now is the time to update your property listing for your target audience. And remember to take advantage of the tools and resources available in your Vrbo dashboard, like calendar syncing or seasonal rates. They'll help you optimize your listing to achieve a high acceptance rate and avoid unnecessary cancellation. Check out our partner blog or visit the link in the description. Thanks for listening to Powering Travel, brought to you by Expedia Group.